Happy Mother's Day. I'm always excited when I remember by the time I get up here. This morning I was, it helps to have a slide. I still don't always remember. I was laying in bed next to my wife, mother of my children, you know, and you're just thinking, this is good. Get up, and my first Facebook feed is my sister with a picture of my mother saying, I miss Mom, you know, and there's a joy to that, the memories. And then it went to Heather and Steph, mothers of my grandchildren, and then it started going to the mothers in the church, you know, and it just, because I thought about putting a picture up there, and then I'm going, I wouldn't be able to stop, you know, it's just. But at the same time, there's this knowledge that if we get this parenting thing right, it builds society. And, you know, for mothers, this natural attraction to their children and concern and compassion is, it's amazing. It's God-placed, God-given. But also just to know that it's hard work, and yet the investment's worth it. You know, the fruit of that is so valuable. And so, well, we honor you, celebrate, and now I'm off to other things. Okay. So, I want to talk about courage for a few minutes this morning. I love the challenge in Joshua 1, where God's telling Joshua, be strong and brave or courageous. You've got to lead. And it's my opinion that we face the challenge between courage and fear virtually every day. That we have choices to make that will either accentuate courage in our lives or fear. And it's... A few weeks back, I was walking the South Trails. I think I was headed to Morgan Falls with a friend. And we come across this bike path spot where, you know, it's coming down this hill, and there's a jump that's well over our heads. And then it's on the landing points on the other side. And I'm looking at that, and it's diving down the hill after that. I'm going, no way. And my memory is... I think I was a senior in high school. We used to do bike trails, not quite of this measure, but I remember coming off a small cliff one time and then hitting sand, and then I was topsy-turvy, and I was jabbing things into parts that I didn't want jabbed, and I'm just going, I think from now on I can be crazy in a car. You know, at least I have steel wrapped around me. And for a few years, that was the case. And then you go, nah, not even that, you know, if possible. But it's those things where we make choices all the time, right? But nobody says, you know, I so admire this person. They sit in their house and tremble every day. Nobody says that kind of thing. Or, you know, I really love their presence in public because you never hear a word and they never, you know, they're just skitterish every time you're around them. Nobody thinks that way. And I'm convinced God isn't all that excited about that kind of behavior either. You know, that he's not saying, there's my kid. They sit at home and tremble all day long. You know, or there they are again, but they don't dare talk to anyone. That's... Who cherishes that kind of behavior? I have this strange picture that I would prefer to think of God as watching us and kind of going, oh, there they go again. You better go bail them out. You know, talking to the angels and just say, you know, maybe let it sting a little bit so they get a little smarter in this, but, you know, go take care of them, you know. But there's a kind of a happiness even in us when we see our kids stretching, so to speak, and pushing the boundaries and trying to accomplish a little more. And I'm sure that God thinks the same way about us as well. I want to do a little bit of the backstory in regard to Joshua Because a lot of this has to do with our trust of God and our confidence in Him as to whether we can step forward into things. You know, whether we believe that He truly is giving oversight to our lives and whether He cares enough to give us the wisdom that we need. But Joshua, he was a man of exploits already before this was ever written. He had been one of the spies that went into the land and brought back a good report. You know, the 12 were sent out. Only two came back and said, we can do this. He was the man that had led Israel in battle against the Amalekites. He was the leader of that war. He had sat under Moses' tutelage and been trained by him. He had gone up on the mountain with Moses. He had sat at the tent, God's tent, in the presence of God. And it was declared about his life, here's a man within whom is the Spirit. So he had all this background and training and positioning, and yet God in this moment is telling him, it's time. Be strong and courageous. Moses, in his final words to the people, had said, be strong and courageous. What you're taking on, you need to be able to move in this. So he's telling the whole community. And then there's a commissioning of Joshua in front of everyone, and he's speaking the very same words. So the last declarations that he's making are with this idea, don't panic, don't get uptight, trust God and move forward in this. He says there's two things. He warns them, you've got to be obedient. You know, you can't waver off the path, but also if you shut down, that doesn't get you anywhere either. And so he's telling them, be strong and courageous. So in this Joshua chapter 1, first part of the chapter, he says, to Joshua, he says, get ready, cross the Jordan River. Now, the crazy part of this is the thing's at flood stage. It could have been almost a mile wide. Joshua could have taken, that's a good word from the Lord. As soon as the water goes down, we'll take care of this. You know, that would have been sound reasoning, right? That would have been a way to talk yourself out of doing what was being asked. And yet, he's got to step into this. And so this says, just get ready. You're going to do this. And then God goes on and says, no one will be able to resist you all the days of your life. So God's beginning to say, this is what I'm about. And this is what I'm willing to do for you in this. I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll not abandon you or leave you alone. How do you like those phrases? Do they apply to us as well? I won't abandon you. I won't leave you. You know, if you start to perceive God in that light, it affects where you go, right? Then he goes into the be strong and brave. Obey. Don't swerve from the right or to the left so that you may be successful in all you do. So again, God is honored or God enjoys when he sees us flourishing. But it takes a certain mindset that's willing to step out of the house or step into community and to take on things that seem beyond us. There's so many different types of challenges, right? I mean, you know, I mentioned like the physical test of hoping that you have the strength, speed, coordination, endurance to get over the jump and land it. But there's lots of things that way. But then you also, you look at, you know, there are tests with us mentally, like you kids in school. Sometimes there's a fear of taking on the next class simply because you don't know if you can succeed. Or there's a fear of even applying yourself because what happens if it doesn't work out? Or what happens if I fail? What am I going to think of myself if I can't achieve? Or sometimes we're afraid to talk to people simply because we don't know if they will talk back to us or with us. Or we don't know if they'll be even interested in the things we say. Or then we get challenged and going, what if they don't like me? And sometimes that keeps people from even trying. And you think, there was a lost relationship, potential of a lost friendship, simply because I let fear take over in this moment. What to say, how to say, when to say, there's a certain level of trust that just says, I'll have to trust God to help me when the time comes with this. Sometimes we get asked to do things in the Lord that it's either say something that isn't going to be comfortable, or it's to keep our mouths shut when we really would like to say something. Even in employment, it's this way, right? There are times when you're wondering, can I do the job? I haven't worn a watch for many, many years. In one of the first jobs I was in out in San Diego, there was a lot of pressure, very, very intense. And it was getting to me. Enough so that about every 15 to 20 seconds I would check the time. And I'm going, this will kill me. Took it off, haven't worn one since. You know, every now and then if I absolutely, now the phones, but you know what I mean. It was one of those times where you're just going, I'm letting anxiety take over here and I've got to do some things to stop this. But even in those moments, we have the right to call out to God and say, change the way I'm wired here. I need this. Help me. Bring somebody into my life. Do something, because I'm drowning in this moment. And the beauty is that he does take care of us. I'm still around. Just no watch. So they cross. I want to jump into the New Testament and hit a few verses that go off the same thing. When Jesus is having the Last Supper with his disciples, this is the last meal that they're going to share together before he goes to the cross. And he knows it's just hours away. And he's making declarations to them. He says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to teach you everything and cause you to remember everything. You know, that insecurity of saying, I don't know if I'll be able to figure this out. I don't know if I'll be able to understand this. The fear of stepping forward. And Jesus is making a declaration saying, the Holy Spirit will teach you what you need to know and help you remember it. I like that idea. I mean, isn't it true when we used to study for exams, it's not even just getting the information, but can I even spit it out when I need it? And yet, this declaration is coming in regard to the Holy Spirit. And he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be distressed or lacking in courage. So he says, one of the things I desire to do with you and for you is to establish peace as a part of your lives. And that means you're not going to be overwhelmed with panic, but rather you can walk in courage. He goes on, and in the 16th chapter, which is the same setting, so he comes back and visits it in this same meal. And he goes, look, a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered. And each one of you in his own home. It sounds a lot like COVID, doesn't it? You know? He says, I'll be left alone, yet I'm not alone because the Father's with me. He says, no matter what situation, We are not alone. It says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have trouble and suffering. So he's making a declaration. He's saying, courage isn't absent from trouble and suffering or difficulty, but it's available in the moment. But take courage, I've conquered the world. A few things about the Apostle Paul, just quick little notes, and the disciples. Acts chapter 4, disciples had been going to prayer in chapter 3, and they had seen a lame man. He asked them for money. They said, we don't have it, but what we have, we give to you. The man was healed. And it causes a big stir, enough so that huge crowds form. It says over 5,000 people are saved in connection with what's going on. And the religious establishment doesn't like it, or they're nervous at least. And so Peter and John get thrown in jail. And then the next day, they're brought before the religious leaders, and they're told, don't be talking this way. Don't be saying these things that you're saying. And they're challenged, and there's this moment, so what are you going to do? Well, the disciples come back, and they're rehearsing this to the others, and they said, now, Lord, they turn to God, and they say, pay attention to their threats and grant your servants to speak your message with great courage. In other words, they're going to God and they're saying, it's not time to back down. It's time to step up. It's not time to cower and wait. It's time to move forward. And so they just go, give us great courage. While you extend your hand to heal and bring about miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. In other words, we know that you'll take care of your part of this. Help us to take care of our part. Help us to walk with courage and step into the arena to know that you're going to do what you have promised. It says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God courageously. So they knew that they needed something from the Lord. And they went to him and it took place. And so it's like, you know, when we're wrestling with our own fears and anxieties and struggling with, how do I take this next step? What should I be doing? To follow this example and say, God, I need courage from you. I need you to speak into my heart and to move forward in this. I know that you're faithful. Help me to be faithful. Help me to walk with a confidence that says, you will come through. Paul, when he's writing a letter to the Corinthians, the first book, he gets to chapter 16, the last one. You know, he's making his final comments. He says, stay alert, stand firm in the faith, show courage and be strong. And everything you do should be done in love. So he's just, you know, if you want a summary statement at the end of the book, there it is. Thessalonians says, we suffered earlier. We had the courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of much opposition. So Paul, again, is telling the Thessalonians, yeah, there was a lot of trouble, but we still had the courage to do what needed to be done. One last example. Paul's going to Rome. He's going to face trial. He's on a ship that's about to go down, and they've been 14 days without eating. It's must have been extremely intense. Tossed everything off the ship that they could. An immense storm. And he hears from God during the night. And he stands up and he says, have courage. For just as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you also must testify in Rome. God speaks to him and says, I'm taking you to Rome. Doesn't really matter what happens to this ship. Now, it does crash on an island. They are all saved. But to have this moment where you're not sure whether you're going to live or die, and then to have God come through and just say, yeah, I still have plans for you. It's one of those things, like, even if you have promises from God that have been given to you already, then can't you walk in a confidence that says, I haven't seen those things come through yet. So I'm going to keep walking in this, believing that he's going to do what he wants when he wants. So just, I guess that challenge that just says, we don't want a people that to be a people that withdraw and turn inward. We don't want to be a people that are afraid to try new because it might fail. I mean, what if it does fail? Very rarely is that even associated with death, right? Very rarely. So is he capable of picking us up out of failure even? Yeah. But you don't know if you don't try. I had an experience early on here where there was some significant opposition to what I was doing. And I remember having to decide, am I going to back off or am I going to keep going forward? And I decided I'd rather get thrown out doing what I believed than to just sit still. But that was a very real possibility. And I would not have gotten to see the good things that have taken place except that I'd stayed with it. And I'm very grateful to God what he did, because he came through big time for me. And he provided what was needed to sustain me. But it would never have happened if I'd have backed off. And, you know, that's a memory. Well, that's almost 20 years ago. And there are different issues today. But it requires similar commitment of just saying, I trust him. I don't know where this is going to go. It may end in failure, but I know what I need to do. And you have your own things, right? Each of us has our own things. You know, we mentioned Mother's Day, and there are things in family life at times you're going, oh, help me. And he does. And he will. And that's the confidence that we can carry. That as we step forward doing what we believe is right in God, he comes through in a marvelous way. Now, after the fact, it sure makes it joyful to be able to share, hey, I got a good story for you. You know, I did not think this was going to work out. Didn't know what was going to happen. Thought it was all over. God came through. And that's how we share testimonies together. The goodness of God stepping in, intervening, making himself known when we know our limitations, and we know that what happened had to be because of him. Amen. We thank you for your scripture that speaks life. We ask, Lord, that you would guide our steps. For those wrestling with a particular issue of fear or panic, even this morning, or anxiety, whatever the issue is, we ask that you'll give them a confidence of your oversight and love and care and investment to see this through. And Lord, I ask that for each of us, that our lives would be noted for courage and for walking boldly in you. Amen. I want to pray for God's blessing upon you. Just recognize his goodness in our lives. lives. Your blessing rests on these, your people. May they know the fullness of favor that you intend for them. And discover with a joy what it is to walk a courageous life, filled with bravery and strength. Ask, Lord, as each one goes into the community, that you'll give them words of life to speak over others. Ask that you'll enable them to carry out the workings of your kingdom. Gift them with the supernatural. Be lifted up and exalted, our Lord, we pray. We love you this day.